because you're going to be judged against a perfect man. I mean, if you were going to judge against me or Brother Matichera, you might fare well. I mean, anybody with a best friend named Snake Man, you'd probably do all right judged against him. But we're going to be judged against Jesus Christ. Let's give me these two middle lights here. Give you a quick overview, teach you a little bit, and then preach you a little bit. We're going through the book of Ezra. Remember, we're in this portion of the world. What a book that Bible is. 40 different authors over a period of 1,500 years, three different continents, and it flows together like linguine and clam sauce. I mean, just something else. All right, major Bible events. You got Adam and Eve started over there. Noah landed on the mountains of Ararat. You got Tower of Babel. These are major events in your Bible. Call this a big picture Bible study. Abraham called out of Ur of the Chaldees in this area, came over to the land of promise. Isaac and Jacob, they went down into Egypt when it was a famine, and they stayed there a little bit too long. God brought them out through Moses, and then Joshua, after wandering in the wilderness 40 years, you know how far that is? 70 miles. 40 years to go from here to Buffalo. You say, what's that a picture of? Wandering in sin. Spinning your wheels. Going nowhere. Living for the flesh. All right? Time of the judges. The time of the kings. We call this the pre-exilic time. Katie, what's exilic mean? Deborah, what's exilic mean? Exile. So guess what pre-exilic means? Great. You guys are just with me. Robbie, guess what exilic means? Timmy, guess what post-exilic means? We can see who the doctor from the family is. Amen. All right, so they get carried away captive. They were warned. We'll look at that today. And then these folks were here, and the king of Babylon transferred them over here. And then after 70 years, because he said, you didn't honor my Sabbaths, therefore I'm going to let that land rest. See, what you sow is what you reap. And so they traveled back, and they traveled back under Ezra. Okay, we can shut that off up there. Let's turn those lights on and let's go to Ezra chapter 1. This is the time in history. This is all biblical and extra biblical. These are facts in secular history. A lot of folks, oh, the Bible's a myth. Well, you're just displaying your ignorance to ignore secular history. So in Ezra chapter 1, they're in this captivity, 70 years. God stirs the heart of a king, as we heard Wednesday night, to write a decree and make a proclamation to let them go. You can go back. Now, they've been there for 70 years. Think about that. We won't call for a raise of hands, but we don't have too many people in this building that are older than 70. So put that in a perspective when someone says, hey, we can go back now. All right. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, written 100 years earlier, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, called his name 150 years earlier, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, watch it, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. In other words, he's going to build that temple that had been destroyed under Nebuchadnezzar. Who is there among you, of all his people, his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God, there's a sermon, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place, like around here, where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is at Jerusalem. So he says, okay, whoever wants to go back can go back. Who doesn't, who stays, help them on their journey. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and all the Levites with all of them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord which is at Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things, beside all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king, this is phenomenal right here, we'll probably preach on this one day, brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. We're going back 70 years. Nebuchadnezzar comes in there, besieges the city, flattens the place, takes the gold vessels, takes the silver vessels. You know what that we read in Exodus and Leviticus, all those things in that. And then in the days of Solomon, all those riches and things that were in the temple. And every one of them was preserved. 70 years. The temple's gone. Old Neb is gone. And the vessels of the Lord are preserved. He knoweth them that are his. 8. Even those did Cyrus king of Persia bring forth by the hand of Mithridath the treasurer, and numbered them unto Shesbazar the king of the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them: 30 charges of gold, 1,000 charges of silver, 9 and 20 knives, 30, and all those vessels. You know, this Bible's a funny, it doesn't seem like a holy book, does it? This is a history book. You think any other book, holy book's going to start out with what somebody puts in their mouth? Talking about some guy, don't eat this piece of fruit, and he eats a piece of fruit. This book is unique, very unique. I want to bring a message this morning based on the last phrase in verse 1 of the proclamation that Cyrus made, and put it also in writing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for Jesus. I'm grateful for a book in a shaky world that stands, that we can stand on, with a proclaiming a God that we can stand on, the rock, the chief cornerstone, the one that the builders rejected. But Lord, I didn't reject it. 26 years ago, I took it. Maybe there's someone here, Lord, doesn't know truth this morning. He's never been exposed to the Scripture. I pray today, Lord, that they might come to stand on the rock of Jesus Christ and figure out where they come from, what they're doing here, and where they're going when they die. What three wonderful truths that education, philosophy, science, and such, Lord, cannot answer those questions. And thank you that you just, in a simple pages of a book, showed it 26 years ago. Bless your word, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, title, It's in Writing. It's in writing. For you that weren't here Wednesday night, I want to give this quick blessing about the sprinkler system. We're putting a new addition on the back there. We're going to make this multi-purpose room a multi-purpose room, and we're putting a sanctuary over here. And after a sanctuary, we'll have after a wedding, we'll be able to come over here and have a wedding reception after funerals, which would be sooner for us, many of us, than later. We'll be able to come over here and have a reception and the meetings and the choice and the hope and VBS and all these different things. And one thing they told us when we built this building, that they said, well, you're putting addition, you got to sprinkle that side, and you have to sprinkle this side. $111,000. The whole project's only $400,000. I didn't like that, and we're paying as we go. I don't believe in taking loans, and I wanted to kind of get it done before my 17 birthdays are up. And so I told the, and this has been going on for months about all this and talking to people in the State Department, the head of our state and those departments. And last week ago Wednesday, I asked everyone under 12 that prays to raise their hand. And they did. And I said, I want you to pray one word, sprinkler. God knows all the details. You just pray sprinkler. And within 168 hours, just like Cyrus declared something for them, I was talking to the code enforcement officer. I said, I'm reading this thing that if we put a firewall, that's two sheets of 5/8 drywall, between these two buildings. She said, you know what, if that's the way you're interpreting, forget about it. You don't need to sprinkle this side. 60,000 with a stroke of a pen. And I'm around the country calling all these people, every sprinkler man ever known to this world, and Christians expect. And here's what one of the guys said. He said, when you get the quotes, get it in writing. Make them specify in writing. You know what the Bible is? It's what God said in writing. I praise God He left it in writing. Because I don't trust me and I don't trust you to tell me what God said. Let God be true and every man a liar, and if I don't have it in writing to check out what you're telling me, I want to see it in here. I want to be like those Bereans that were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that when they heard the word of God with all readiness of mind, they searched the scriptures whether those things were so. So if you think you're going to get up in front of me and say, I'm getting a revelation and God told me that if I don't get $7 million, He's going to kill me. Show me that in the Bible. It's written. Number one, you know what's written? A punishment prescribed. That means a punishment written down before it's meted out. Now let's go here, because these people are in captivity. A whole nation. Their temple, their religious center of worship was flattened. Their women were ravished and their men were killed and they got taken away captivity to another land. You know why? Real simple why. Because God said that would happen if you do this. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Punishment prescribed, written down before it was meted out. And I'll tell you, there's only one nation in the history of the world. There's not one nation in the history of the world that mirrors the nation of Israel more like the United States of America. Deuteronomy chapter 28. He's starting out this nation here. He calls them out of the Ur of the Chaldees through Abraham. They end up down in Egypt. He brings them out of the Red Sea. They wandered in sin for 40 years. And Moses is getting ready to go in the land. And he gives them the law a second time. And here's what he said. Listen, now when you go in there, 28:1. It shall come to pass, I want you to think about a nation. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Sound familiar? And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. And thou shalt, if thou shalt hearken unto the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in where? The city. The city. And I'll just elaborate a little bit here. But when my dad grew up, the city was prosperous. Mike's trying to bring it back, but when he sees the second half of Deuteronomy 28. However, let's read on. And blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, that's your children, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. I mean, they just got more than they can handle. Verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in the storehouses, and all that thou settest thine hand unto, he shall bless thee in the land. Verse 10. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, a lot of goods. The fruit of thy body, a lot of children. Isn't that gone by the wayside? In the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord God swore unto thy fathers. Look at verse 12. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend money to many nations, and shall not borrow. Oh my. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. It's hard to concentrate that we're talking about the nation of Israel and not see our own selves. Look at the first word of verse 15. But, this is the punishment prescribed, written down before it happened. It shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be. What's number one? Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket. Cursed shall be thy store. Look at verse 18. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. That's your children. 19. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. 21. The Lord shall make the pestilence, that's incurable diseases, cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land, whether thou goest to possess. This is all before they go in. 25. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. You're not gonna mop up in those wars the way you used to. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. They're going to have you in a quagmire. And shall be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy, this is frightening. And thy carcass shall be meat unto the fowls of the air. 29. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Look at verse 30. Thou shalt betroth a wife that's engaged, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Won't that preach? Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt now gather grapes. 32. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in thine hand. 37. Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether the Lord shall lead thee. 41. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All the trees of thy fruit, thy land shall the locust consume. Watch this. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high. You just go down to Florida and see who owns businesses. And around the country, thou shalt come down very low. Watch. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the table. Conclusion. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Why? Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God. 50. Now this is talking about Babylon. This is before it happened. This is before the nation even settled. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. 54. So that the man that is tender among you, and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother. The Bible says there'll be the love of many will wax cold in the end times. Look at verse 56. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for her delicateness and tenderness, Her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter. Let me read you this little article I came across one day. And this is not preachers. This is the smart people write this stuff. Believe it or not, modern women want to get married. The trouble is men don't. This is secular now. This person did this study. I've accidentally stumbled upon a subculture of men who've told me in no uncertain terms that they'll never get married. When I ask them why, the answer is always the same. Women aren't women anymore. To say gender relations have changed dramatically is an understatement. In a nutshell, this is what these people are feeding back, these men. Women are angry. They're also defensive, though often unknowingly. That's because they've been raised to think men as the enemy. Armed with this new attitude, women pushed men off the pedestal and climbed up to take what they were taught to believe, what was rightfully theirs, and the men have nowhere to go. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward the son, and toward her daughter. 65, two more verses and we'll move on. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease. He said, I'm going to bring you into captivity. 64, he said, I'm going to scatter you, just like he promised. Neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee therefore a trembling heart. It's all going to crash tomorrow. But the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart and a failing eyes and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. 850 years prior to them being taken into captivity, they got a warning. A written warning. A punishment. Prescribe. You know what the Bible is? The Bible is just God's punishments and blessings written down. For better or for worse, what God likes, what He doesn't like, what He blesses, what He curses, His love, His wrath, heaven, hell, salvation, damnation. You say, I don't like that. Well, I don't like the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, but it's there. I can't say they didn't tell me.
Oh, license, registration, insurance card, please. Did you see that speed limit sign back there?
A half a mile after it changed to 35 from 55. Oh, yeah, I saw it, but nobody pays attention to them old thing. They've been there for years. Nobody reads those anymore. Oh, they ought to be out getting criminals. They are! They had it. They ignored it. And now they're paying the price.
In captivity. John chapter 3. Let's look at the parallel in the New Testament. I don't have one, but if you've got those, one of them Bibles where the words of Christ are in red, you know, like special attention, listen, here it is. The words of Jesus Christ, the New Testament punishment prescribed before the fact. John chapter 3, verse 16, probably the most popular verse in the entire world. You see it at the football games, the basketball games, the baseball game. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But it continues. For God, Jesus still speaking, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Yippee! But he that believeth not is condemned already. I don't believe that myth. There's your prescribed punishment. You're condemned.
because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Why would men reject the loving, sinless Savior that paid for their sins? How can it be? Why can it be? How can it possibly be that if someone came along and said, let me take your sin debt, I'll take them off? I'll tell you why. It's right here. And men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Look at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Present tense? I can know now? Yes. Yippee! And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Revelation chapter 20. You know what the punishment prescribed in the New Testament is? Hell. A woman said to me one time, oh, are you one of those hot hellfire and brimstone preachers? I said, no. I said, we're hot where the Bible's hot and cool where the Bible's cool. Who's got a red letter edition Bible? Is verse, no, it's not. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Emailed one of our cops here this morning and didn't get to him in time, but I was going to bring what's called the penal code. That's the laws that they carry around. Now it's all in their computers and that, but it's the law. 55 over here is the, not on this road. 55 is the law. And you can't drink and drive is the law. Well, what makes them think they're right and everything? I mean, why do they have to have all those laws? For our own good. Little 3-year-old kid. I don't know why I can't walk in the road. I don't know why I have to love my wife. Well, try living without loving her. They say when mom's not happy, nobody's. Guys, how dare you say that right in front of your wives like that. I don't like it. But you'll never be able to say you didn't have it written. What if I don't read it? I went by the speed limit sign and closed my eyes. Hearty har har. Guilty. A punishment prescribed. Number 2. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, right before Ezra. You were warned. You were told. And it gets gooder, so don't shut me off yet. Watch this. A practice published. A practice published. You know what the Kings and the Chronicles are? 350 years of recorded people's behavior. What the leaders were doing, what the priests were doing, what the nation was doing, and what the prophets were doing. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 12. This is the end before they go into captivity. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 12. This is the last king before captivity. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself. That's what it takes to come to Christ. It'd be easier to work your way to heaven. It'd be easier to give 40 for a man. Be easier to give 40% of your income if you had to get to heaven than to humble ourselves. And pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And God has designed men to be providers, and God has designed men to be fighters, and God has designed men to be protectors. But out of balance, it becomes pride enough to reject the very God that created them.
14, moreover, all the chief of the priests and of the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, that'll preach, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of the, watch this now. If you're mad at me today, if you're mad at me, watch this. And the Lord God of their fathers sent them his messengers, rising up betimes, that means a lot, and sending, why? Because he had compassion on his people. And on his dwelling place. You know why men of God today don't want to preach hard? They don't love you enough. You know parents that don't discipline their children what the Bible says? He that loveth him chasteneth. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. Why? Because God has designed that discipline, whatever for you that might be, to sort of reinforce that conscience. And that Bible said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And so, 350 years. Watch what it says. Because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Look what they did. But they mocked the messengers of God. Had a lady call us from 40, not call us, but a friend that's soliciting us. 48 hours. You know the 48 hours, the True TV and all that. We want people that sell Bibles door to door. Well, they got the wrong group. Because the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. And then they want street preachers. They want to do like a documentary. Now, why do you think they want to do that documentary? They mocked the messengers of God. Watch it. They misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had, watch it, no compassion. See, when he gives you up, when he gives you over, when he says, okay, it's like any father, okay. It's wild out there, but if you want to go, they're not going to have no compassion on you. They're not going to come between you and wrong, young lady. Like your mean, out of touch, old-fashioned parents are trying to do. Well, we got to put up with you. Thank God. A man to stand in the gap. When God was going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham had people he loved down there. And he said, no, won't you? And he's literally contemplating and back and forth and discoursing with God. A punishment prescribed. A practice published. And everything those people did is recorded. And heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will not pass away. It's recorded forever. Now, New Testament mirror. Punishment prescribed is hell. A practice published is sin. Matthew chapter 12. I don't like this. You say, I don't like sitting under this. How'd you like to have to sit under it, being the one that's responsible to giving it, and you can't hardly turn to the left or to the right and say, hey, didn't you remember what you're saying to those people tomorrow? Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Is your words in red? Okay, so that. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. We got this new process. We're trying to. You know what the main problem with our sound system is? The guy's putting out the sound. Laurel and Hardy here, fatty and skinny, tall and shorty. We don't turn it on. We drop it off. It's not where it's supposed to be. So they came up with a new thing that they're going to suit us up. It's already going to be on. They're going to turn it on and off. And so this was the second week. And we wouldn't believe this, but me and Pastor Folk, I mean, and a lot of our talks that we have after with people, that's counseling time. And someone came out of the nursery and said, Pastor, we can hear everything you're saying in the nursery. And then someone, you ever get that feeling when you hit send on an email and you realize you were looking at one thing, but you wrote it to someone else? And then someone texted me. Yeah, we're watching live stream and everything you're saying is coming over live stream. And what's the first question you ask? What did I say? And not that I ever talk bad, but, and who did I say it about? Could you imagine standing before a sinless Savior and give account of every idle word spoken? Is it written down? That which will be done in secret, Jesus said, will be made manifest. A practice published. My dad was a department head at the RG&E. And there was this guy that worked for him. His name was Louis DiMartino. They used to call him Eli because his eyes, like, bugged out of his head. And he used to take the company car home. And Louis used to take the company car down to the end of the street at night, get his gas can, stick the siphon in, get that thing started, fill his gas can, cut his lawn, trim his hedges and such. Mrs. Kravitz, who lived at the end of the street, takes a picture of Louis. Louis smoked the... Louis, don't you know you're not supposed to smoke cigars when you're siphoning gas? He's smoking a bit. He was kind of cross-eyed, big bug-eyed. So my dad had to call him in the office. Yeah, Pat. He says, Louis, you been stealing gas? No, Pat, you know I wouldn't steal no gas. Good as you've been to me. You ain't been stealing no gas, Louis, out of the company. No, what's the matter with you? There's only one. We can fool each other, but we're not fooling God. Every idle word brought to light before one who never had a bad thought, never said a bad word. Let's move on, because I don't like dwelling there too long. Ezra chapter 1. A punishment prescribed, hell. A practice published, sin, all recorded. A proclamation penned. Verse 1, by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. They made a proclamation. Look at the last. And put it in writing. Thus saith the Lord, Cyrus, king of Persia. The Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth and has charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up. They're in captivity. They're paying the price for punishment prescribed. But a king came along. And a king said, who wants to go free? Who wants to be free from Babylon? Who wants to be free from the punishment of sin? And not only did he just orate it, he put it in writing. And you can go to any history book in the world, and what's in your Bible is in that history book.
A proclamation penned in the New Testament is the gospel.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Doesn't that sound good? Does it not go into the prescribed place of punishment sound good? If it doesn't sound good, maybe you're still going there. say amen. I got a verse for that. What was that verse? Anyone remember that verse? It's okay to say amen. Okay, watch. To as many as received Him, Jesus made a proclamation. The King of the Jews made a proclamation. The King of the world one day made a proclamation that God sent His only begotten Son into this world. And if you believe in Him, you won't perish, but you have everlasting life. You won't have to pay the prescribed punishment. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Oh, we're all God's children. No, we are not, unless Jesus was a liar. And if Jesus was a liar, what are we doing here? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, amen, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are you saved? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the reason that He's the only name we could be saved by is because He's sinless and nobody else is. I don't care what religious leader it is. Now let's think about this choice. They're in captivity 70 years. They're under a king that is not opposed to them. He's for religious tolerance. 70 years. What if I said, hey Joe, they just made an edict. We can go back to Sicily. Have a good trip. Well, wait a minute. That's the land of our Guido grandparents and our forefathers, and man, that's where they make the good pasta chute and pasta landique and all that stuff. I got friends here. I got a business here. I got a job here. I got family here. What's over there at that place where we're going? Well, we really don't know. In fact, physically, it was probably better where they were. Because it was nothing but ruins over there. And these people just name it and claim it, unscriptural gospel. Oh, if you just trust Jesus, your life will get wonderful. That's the guy getting the $100,000 an hour on the telephone. The preacher at preaching the sermon at who smokes cigarettes. That's who that is. For a lot of people, life got worse. Physically. You think the martyrs' life got better because they got saved? Physically? It's better now, though. A punishment prescribed is hell. A practice published is sin. A proclamation penned is the gospel. A pick printed. You didn't know I was this smart, did you, Brother Zabdil, to put all these P's and stuff together? Watch. Look at chapter 2 of Ezra. If you were going to write a holy book, would you put that in there? You know what that is? That's written down the record of the people that responded to the proclamation. Every single one of them. I'll go! Write them down. I'll go! Write them down. I'll go! Write them down. I realize we're in the prescribed punishment here, but the king made a proclamation to go free, and I'm not sure what my physical life is going to be, but I'll go! Write it down. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You You know who goes to heaven? The people written in the book. You know who get written in the book? The people that say, I'll go! I believe the proclamation of the King that whosoever liveth and believeth in me, Jesus Christ, shall never die. Who his own self bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. My sins are washed as far as the east is from the west. And it's not because I'm a Baptist, and it's not because I'm a this or a that, and it's not because I do good work. It's because I've trusted in Jesus. Write it down. May 17th, 1986, 1974, rusted out Chevy pickup, driving down Lake Avenue. I trusted Christ as my Savior. Nothing fancy, no bells, no whistles. Nobody hit me on the head saying, say Jesus, none of that stuff. Just a simple faith and trust that moved from my head believing in Jesus to my heart. And God said, write it down. Woo! Proverbs 2, Proverbs 1. Listen, a pass repeated. Whoever played euchre? I'm not setting you up. 3-2-3-2-2-3-2-3. What's the first guy say? Either pass or... You know what some did with that proclamation? I'll pass! You know what some did? I'll pick it up. And I'll go. I don't have to go alone. Amen. No, we're not gamblers around here. We're talking about the old days, I think. No thanks. Captivity. Bible says that Jesus came to set the captives free. Captive to what? Sin in the present and the punishment for sin in the future. No thanks, I'll pass. In fact, Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. In other words, religion is easier. But putting my faith and trust in a completed sacrifice for sin, that takes a little bit of humility, saying I can't reach up to Him. He has to reach down to me. I'll pass. Proverbs 2, verse 24. 1:24, sorry. Because I've called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel. You listen, young people that aren't saved. And you know who I'm talking to. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God does and you do. Whose parents have begged you and whose pastor has preached you and whose friends have counseled you, but you refuse. But ye have set at naught all my counsel with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel and despised all my reproof, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and that's sin. And that's death. Your body dies because you're a sinner. Your soul dies forever and ever and ever and ever and ever because your sins aren't forgiven. And be filled with their own devices. But don't stop, don't stop. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. Prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But I love the buts in the Bible. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I tell people on those streets, they were on the corner the other day and I see them coming, you know. They don't realize I'd lived in this world for 26 years. And they think they're going to upset the little Sunday school teacher. And I see them coming there laughing, and they're opening their, rolling their window down, a guy and a girl last week. And they start screaming, "Ah, Jesus!" I said, "Are you rocking?" They're going like this. I go, "Are you rocking for Jesus?" They go, "Yeah." I go, "So am I." Then they may, I said, "You better not say no to him, because he'll say no to you one day." We're not. Pass repeated at the judgment. Listen, you pass on Jesus, he's going to pass on you. And you're going to pay for your own sins. Lastly, a proof perceived. How do you know who made the choice, Eric? This is really difficult. Those that went up. Now picture Joe, cool, back in school, hanging around the water fountain, playing it cool. "Hey, Joe, you going up?" "Yeah, man, I'm going up." "They're packing the camels." "Yeah, I'm going up." They're sounding the call." "Yeah, I'm going up." "They're leaving." "I'm going up." "Yeah." "They're there." "Oh, I'm there too." "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar." That's what's written down. Now, if you want to take some little religious fairy tale and put it in your head, to think that when you get judged by a perfect man for every thought, every action, every imagination, every piece of gossip, everything you thought about, looked at, said, heard, that your good is out going to outweigh your bad? If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. That's what's written down. Now, you can either go 95 miles an hour and point at a speed limit sign and say, "It's a myth!" Or you could say, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." This is not your enemy, brethren. This is your friend. The speed limit sign and the cop is not my enemy if I'm not speeding. Punishment of hell for sinners. Sin recorded. Now, here's what happens when you get saved. And I'm glad. In case that thing about every idle word and the things done in secret be made manifest, there's only one thing that could cover that. Remember the little mole thing at the fair? You hit the mole, another pop. If you try to cover your sin with religion, whoop, it's going to pop up over here. If you try to cover it with good works, your good works, even if they did outweigh your bad works, are not going to stand against a sinless, holy, perfect man that never thought to do evil. There's only one thing that will cover your sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't have to answer for what I've said, what I've thought, what I've imagined. I'm not going to be punished because I'm in Jesus Christ. Not in the Baptist church, not in the baptismal tank, not in the offering plate, in Jesus Christ. Let's stand.